You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
You know, we had a man, maybe he's here tonight, in church this morning. He had his boss brought him to church, and he got saved, but he said, "This is my last stop. I'm going to commit suicide." And he came, he listened. God spoke to his heart, and he got saved, and just really, he really got it. You pray for his life, and I dealt with a man with suicide thoughts this week, and you pray for him. He got saved too, but pray that they grow in grace. You know, suicide is the ultimate self-trip. Don't ever commit suicide. Don't do that, folks. And you're going to create a hurt that will be lasting. Many of us in this room have perhaps you've gone through the suicide, and it's a permanent hurt, and I hope that you'll remember that. Have you ever had a sign? Maybe you have it on your gate right now. You ever have a beware sign? How many have a beware sign somewhere? Hands are going up everywhere. Beware of the dog. That's the first thing you got to beware of. Beware of the owner. That's a good one right there. I think I was in Long Beach at Brother Jack's dad's church this week, Pacific Baptist, and the Brother Ross was taking me to the airport, and he goes, "Do you have raccoons in your?" I said, "Oh, I got raccoons. They have a party every night in my yard. Raccoons. I have raccoons. I have cats. I won't say anything, but I have cats, raccoons, skunks, squirrels." And he said, do you have coyotes? I said, "No." He goes, "They're everywhere down here." I guess they're everywhere down. You're shaking your head. They're everywhere down. I said, "You got." He goes, "Yeah, they're just everywhere down here. I'm glad I don't live in L.A. I'd transfer my membership up here right away. You just have skunks and things of that nature." But a lot of times people say, beware. And I want you to beware of some things tonight. We're going to preach on that subject. Beware. The Bible says in chapter number 4 and verse 11, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers." Why did God give you a pastor? And the first one I want you to see with me is tonight is to beware of the bond servant. A pastor is a bond servant. He's bound by God. And why did God give you a pastor? For the next verse, for the perfecting of the, for the work of the ministry. It is my job and the job of these pastors and the pastors of this ministry to figure out where should you be serving God. What is your gift? What gift did God give you? There's 9 gifts of the Spirit. What gift did God give you at salvation? Or what talent do you have? All these people here, I don't believe this is a gift that God gave them. That's a talent that they've developed, all these orchestra pieces, and they're using it for God, and the pianist and the organist and the harpist and the pianist and the guitars over here. I believe that's a talent. And they said, "My talent, my life is, Lord, yours to control." Go with me, if you will, to Matthew 24 real quickly. We're to beware of the bond servant. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24 and the end days prophecy, Matthew 24, the disciples said, "Lord, tell us," verse 3, when shall these things be? The sign of thy coming, the end of the world." And he said in verse 4, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For," what's the next word? Many. What's that word again? Say it together. Many. "Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Verse number 24, "And there shall arise false Christ, false prophets shall show great sign and wonders, even if it was possible, they should even deceive the very elect." You know, tonight, child of God, you have to be so aware of the bond servant that serves you. And I say that with the greatest humility of heart that I can. It is my job, my task in life, to seek to be spiritual before God. That's what the job of every man of God is. Not to be lazy, not to sleep in every day, not to take Monday off, Tuesday off, not to be taking this journey and that trip and all these things, not going golfing every 3 days a week. But my job is to be a man of God. That's what every pastor should be, a man that wants to walk with God. And I fail so much at that. I think, dear Lord, I get so weary with myself. But I want to tell you, child of God, that the best I can, and it could have been better, I'm sure, but the best I can for 50 years, I have tried to serve you. And that's what God's plan is for every man of God, that he serves his people. He prays for his people. He loves his people. He visits his people. He buries his people. He marries his people. He counsels his people. He advises people. He gives direction to people. That's the job of a bond servant. The Bible said God gave you this, Ephesians chapter 4, for the perfecting, the maturing, the completing of the saints. Are you serving God with your life? You say, I'm not, Pastor. I come to church and that's great, but I'm not really serving God. Well, then call me this week. Give me a note here tonight. Give me a note and say, here's my phone number. Give me a call and I'll give you a call. I'll meet with the pastors and we'll pray about where we need you to serve. We always need servants of God. We have 29 bus routes. In addition, we have about 4 or 5 or 6 shuttle buses running every service. Just to run the shuttles and run the buses, it takes so many drivers, so many just to drive the buses. We need more drivers. We need more captains. We need to have people say, I feel so burdened to reach these boys and girls for Christ. You see ministry kids that are here tonight, we're so proud of you. But I tell you, last Sunday night, we had packed up here 94 teenagers from the Sea Ministry. 94. But you know, the vast majority of those kids are being raised in homes without a dad. Talking about 75% or more. They have no male influence in their life. You've got to have a dad. And if you don't have a dad, you've got to adopt some man that will lead you and guide you and direct you and give you direction for your life. Hey, kids, till your dad walks you down the aisle and gives your hand in marriage, you are responsible to obey your mother and your father. Stop the debate. Stop the sin. Stop the wrong. Stop. What is with giving elementary kids telephones hooked up to the internet? What is with that? I don't understand it. If that's you, stop it. Get the phone and stop it. Say, well, little Johnny, he's in second grade. He's going to be upset with this. Let him be upset. And time out. Summer's coming. Teenagers, don't waste your time at all, college students especially, playing games. A man that retired from our ministry 44 years of age years ago and moved to Georgia, built a beautiful house. I've seen the house. He has 5 laundromats, huge laundromats in his house. It's a beautiful house, beautiful garages. They built another garage, holds 6 beautiful cars with the elevators, 12 altogether. It's beautiful. But he said to me years ago, Pastor, you want to make some money, invest in games. That's where America's going. He said this probably 15, 18 years ago. Invest in games. I said, what parent would want to give his children these devices to play the games? He says, not for children. Games for adults. I had a 49er that was living across the street from me, and I noticed all these 49ers were coming night after night after night after night, and they're staying. I'd get up and look out the window, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. The cars were out there, all these 49ers playing, and they said, I called him by his first name. I said, what are you doing? He said, we're playing video games. He said, quite frankly, it's more fun than the real game itself. Do you know that NVIDIA, right here, a mile from our church, is the richest company in the world? And what do? They make video games for adults. That man was right. I should have invested. You know, the Bible says you're going to have to beware. I do not want to dictate your life. I do not want to be the final say. I don't want to say, no, you can't. I don't want to be a narcissistic pastor that is telling you, you have to do this. If you don't do this, I put you on my, no, I'm not, I don't want to do that. But I'd sure like to have some advice to you. I'd sure like to advise you teenagers how to live. I love you. So much, you'll never believe how much you've got to have your dad and your mother guide you into adulthood. Somebody's got to guide you. But with your mother and dad, I had so many men in my life that would guide me. Brother Crandall would guide me. Arlen Slider would guide me. Brother Chet Rahab Sr., he would guide me. He was my baseball coach. And they would guide me into adulthood. I had my older brother-in-law that was such a hero in my life, and he would help guide me just by his very life. You cannot make it to adulthood without someone giving you advice. And then don't debate it, obey it. You better be aware. I hear people leave our church all the time, and that's okay. You don't have to stay. But get a pastor as strong or stronger than I am. Get a church as strong or stronger than me, or this church. Don't get a weaker place. Look what he says here. He says, I want you to beware of your bondservant. And a warning not only of your bondservant, but a warning of your beliefs. What do I believe? Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine and sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive us. Look at verse 17. This I say, therefore, testify of the Lord, that you walk not as other Gentiles walk, in vanity of their mind. He's saying, I want you to have a strong belief. Look at verse number 18. Having the understanding darkened and alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of blindness of their heart. Look at verse number 19. That who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. What is lasciviousness? Anything goes. Anything goes. I want this. I'm going to get this. I don't care if I hurt my dad, hurt my mother, hurt my children, hurt my family, hurt the name of Christ. I want to do this. I want weed. I want drugs. I want pot. I want alcohol. I want sodomy. I want all those things. You'll get them. Because you're bent on getting them, and you'll destroy your life. One day, if you're like many of our kids have destroyed their life, they call back and they said, Pastor, help me. And I'll do everything I can to help. But oh, the scars that they live with and the remorse that they live with. You're going to have a belief system that's strong, not carried about with every sleight of doctrine. Not this guy here, and now I'm going to listen to this guy here, and he's my advice, and I'm going to listen to this guy here. And don't play internet pastors. You can find a pastor, find a shepherd that can guide you and love you and direct you and pray for you and help you. I try to tell it to our listeners all the time through the internet, through the letters, emails I send back to them. I write them a note and I remind them, I am not your pastor. I'd suggest you go talk to your pastor. I want to supplement the pastor does, but I don't want to be their pastor. I want to help their pastor. I want to encourage their pastor. But they have a pastor. Their pastor knows the true story, the whole story. And God says, I want you to beware. You young men that are graduating from Golden State Baptist College, I tell you, you're going to have to beware. You're going to have to be willing to stand up against graduates that become compromisers. You're going to have to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to preach with them. No, I'm not going to spend time with them. No, I'm not going to be involved with them. But because they're going away, I'm not going. You're going to have to be strong. And by the way, you can't let every Baptist Bible college into your church, because they're not all sound in the faith. Choose a Bible college that's sound in the faith. Let them come. I have for years, unbeknownst to this church, I've had to stand up against this university, this college. No, you're not coming here. You're not coming to present your, no, I'm not going to let you. No, no, no. Because I don't believe in compromise. Amen. I don't believe you compromise the Bible. I don't believe you compromise your music. I don't believe you compromise in Exodus 32 that Moses delayed from coming down the mount. And when he heard the noise and the racket, and they called it music, their music had changed. In 40 days, their music had changed. Secondly, they were naked. Their dress had changed. And thirdly, they're worshiping an idol, a calf, and worshiping. Their worship changed, their music changed, their dress changed, and you watch it. You college boys, you're going to get involved with these churches that are changing, and you're going to say, well, we're all kumbaya. We're all going to get along. You're not going to get along. You're going to have to take a stand. What is your belief? And that's what God's word here says. Beware. Your belief will be attacked. I don't talk about it. I'm never going to talk to you about it. But my belief of this church will be attacked this week. It's just constant. I'd like to have a day or a week without being attacked, but it's not going to happen. It's going to happen. And it's not my job to tell you when it happens, but it's just constant. And consequently, I lose a lot of friends over it, because I'm not willing to throw away 50 years of believing that this Bible is the inspired word of God. I'm not willing to throw away that psalm book and personal standards and convictions and holiness. The big, big thing right now in our independent fundamental churches is wine is acceptable. It has become a big, big issue. Wine is not acceptable. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You got wine at home in the refrigerator, go home and dump it down the sink tonight. Get rid of it. You're disobeying God. God says, you beware of your belief system. You beware of your bond servant. Then he says, you beware of your behavior. Look at verse 24. That you put on the new man, which is after God's created in righteousness and true holiness. Look at verse 25. And putting away lying. Your behavior should not have any lying in it. Tell the truth to your mother. Tell the truth to your father. Tell the truth to God. God hears where I'm at. God already knows where you're at. Just admit it to him. Tell your truth. Don't be a liar. I don't know how they get the stat, but they say that 90% of people lie regularly each week to people that are closest to them. How in the world would you lie to those people? God's word says put away, your behavior should be putting away lying. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Don't surrender any ground of your life to the devil. Amen. God said, let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands. God says, your behavior, don't steal. Some of you in this very room under the sound of my voice will be arrested for stealing. You're going to have to stand before a judge. You stole. Some will steal large amounts of sums of money from people. You know, always be honest. Always be honest. Be honest with people. Be honest with God. Be honest with mankind. God said, don't steal. And then he says in verse number 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the edifying, the use that may minister grace to the hearer. Don't be using your tongue to swear. I was witnessing to a man this past week, and as I was witnessing to him, he was a professional man, an executive man. And yet everything he said, he used the word H-E-L-L and D-A-M, and he used other words that I won't even repeat here. And he used them repeatedly as we were speaking. Very wonderful man, very kind man. Listen to me very carefully. But God says, I don't want any filthy, corrupt communication out of your mouth. God saved us. Vanessa did such a beautiful job saying, that day you got saved, don't ever forget it. But when God saved you, he saved your mouth. He saved your mind. He saved your heart. He saved your life. That we should be different. We ought to be different before God.
Amen.
I want us tonight to beware of our bond servant. Don't follow every wind of doctrine. I want us to beware of our beliefs. What do you believe? Not henceforth tossed it. And then what's your behavior? I don't mean to be rude. I really don't. And you could have your cats and love your cats, and that's great. But as bluntly as I can say it, I hate cats. Some of you are not smiling at me. I don't have to put a sign on my fence, beware of cats. Because Brother Jose, those cats and I do not get along. I see them, the sun is coming up, and I see them congregating, having fellowship in my backyard. They're just scattered. They're everywhere. And it's crazy. And I turn the alarm off and I go to the back door. And I try to be as quiet as possible. I put that handle down. And I open the door. And they hear it opening. And they just get like this. And I get moving, and I'm reaching for a rock. I know. I'm not going to hit them, just going to scare them. Don't turn me into PETA. Oh, my goodness. Anybody have cats congregating here? Look. What's with these cats? They're everywhere. They're everywhere. Brother Sly, they're in your house, too. They're everywhere. And you people that feed them, shame on you. You're not good Christians. Don't feed the cats. My sweet neighbor, she's a school teacher, Amber. I saw a skunk on her porch months ago. I said, Amber, the next day, I said, man, don't put that food out there for those cats and those animals. I said, you had a skunk on your porch. And she said, it was great. We watched it on the camera. I said, you got to be kidding me, Amber. You watch that cat, that skunk? She goes, yeah, it was great. I hope they leave their calling card on her porch, not mine. Sometimes in the middle of the night, I'll wake up. I said, it smells in this. The whole house stinks. And I think they're in my house. They're in my house. I know the smell. And Chris Kissel says to me, he goes, they were in my house. It's the same smell. I mean, it's so powerful. Cats are terrible, by the way. Any cat lovers here? Any cat lovers here? Hands up. Look at all those hands. Double hands. You girls, you live in the dorms. You don't have any cats. You can love your little Fifi. Go ahead and love her. But we're going to have to beware of some things. The devil would love to destroy your life. Our Father, tonight I love these people so much. I'm just so grateful for the privilege to be called their friend and pastor. I want to serve them. I want to serve them for many years. I pray that God, you would give all of us strength and courage in our journey of life. Bless these dear folks. Help us to beware of our bondman, our bondservant, our beliefs, our behavior. Let's stand together.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.